the rest of the story. July 1944. The Democratic National Convention in Chicago was to be an historic gathering in one very important respect. Franklin Delano Roosevelt would be renominated as his party's presidential candidate toward an unprecedented fourth term in office. Now, who was to be Roosevelt's running mate? Just about every political realist in the party wanted Harry Truman to become vice president of the United States. Except for one key man, an influential member of the United States Senate whose endorsement was essential to Truman's success, and he was backing James F. Burns for the vice presidential candidacy. What this key senator had confided to only a few close friends was that he would have preferred to endorse anybody except Truman. Now, it's July 44. Franklin Delano Roosevelt's just been renominated as his party's presidential candidate. You're in a fifth-floor suite at Chicago's Blackstone Hotel. The room is crowded. Every Democrat political boss in the country is there, including a half-dozen governors. Almost unanimously, they agree that Harry Truman is their choice for vice presidential candidate. There's just this one dissenting voice, that of a particularly influential United States senator. And the others realize that his support is imperative. He, the senator, says he'll fight him on this issue. He'll fight all the way to the floor of the convention. He has already promised to endorse Jimmy Burns, an old friend and current head of the Office of War Mobilization. The others argue that labor will never back Burns. Anyway, FDR has his heart set on Truman. But the dissenting senator retorts that he would rather see them all elsewhere. And he carries the expression to its extremity. Forget about Truman, the senator says. I have a speech right here in my pocket. I'm going to use this speech to nominate Jim Burns for vice president. The room falls silent. It's an angry impasse, one man against the rest, a deadlock, only one way to break it. St. Louis bigwig Bob Hannigan lifts up the phone and he calls the president. He holds the receiver so that the others can hear. And FDR's booming voice comes through loud and clear. Bob, have you got that guy lined up yet on the vice presidency? Bob Hannigan says, no, Mr. President, there is one remaining dissenter, and FDR knows who it is. Well, said the president, you tell him if he wants to break up this Democratic Party in the middle of a war and maybe lose the war, that's up to him, and Roosevelt hangs up. Now the senator, who only moments ago was so certain that he could propel Jimmy Burns into the vice presidency, that key senator now rises quietly and begins to pace the floor. And minutes pass, and the others are looking worried again. But then at long last, the senator says, all right. If that's the way the old man feels, the senator would have done almost anything to prevent Harry Truman from becoming vice president, but now, on what amounted to a presidential directive, he will withdraw his support of Jimmy Burns. And Truman is in. And by the way, the one man who stood alone against the kingmakers that day, that key senator whose support was absolutely essential, who believed that he could jam Jim Burns down his party's throat, that fellow who tried everything he knew to stop Harry Truman, was Senator Harry Truman. And now you know the rest of the story.